Tonight we'll be in John chapter number 11. And I know that last Sunday, Brother Sammy was in John 11 some, and in John 12 as well. But that's okay. I'm on a totally different thought tonight, and I want to share it with you. In John chapter number 11, if you're a Bible student, when somebody says John 11, you automatically think of Lazarus, and you should, because that's the theme. Lazarus is being risen from the dead. If somebody says John chapter 3, you automatically think of Nicodemus, and you think of the new birth. You think of John 3:16, of course. And I was going to go on, but my memory won't let me. What is it, Luke chapter 15? Is Luke chapter 15? No, Luke chapter 16, I think, is where the rich man is, isn't he, brother? Then Luke 15 is where the three parables are, the lost silver, the lost sheep, and the lost son. But there's places in the Bible that somebody says the chapter, there's a theme in that chapter that pretty well rings true, and you remember it. But tonight, I'm going to get the text in John chapter number 11. Stand with me. Let's read just a few verses of Scripture. I'm still trying to overcome this cough. It's a dry cough at times, and sometimes it's not. But you pray for us. I hope the Lord will help us tonight not to be obnoxious with our voice. The Bible said in verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, he's talking to Martha, he's talking to Mary, and he said unto her, if thou wouldest believe, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And here goes Jesus again. You remember this morning in the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, at times it says he gave thanks, and at times it says he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. And the Bible said here again, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. This, if in a way, if you think about it, it really just seems insignificant. But Jesus didn't put anything in the Bible that doesn't have significance. He looks up and he says, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I want you to think about that tonight. I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but I believe Jesus is talking to his Father. And he's saying, Father, you know my heart. You know I'm thankful that when I talk to you, you hear me. But he said it out loud, and he said it out loud for a reason. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this tonight. I believe you and I need to be thankful out loud for a reason. We've got youngins and grandyoungins that are listening. Brothers and sisters, moms and dads. The Bible said here, I said it that they may believe that thou sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, I don't know how many times that I've stood in this pulpit and other pulpits like it and said thank you. And Lord, truly you do know our hearts tonight. Lord, you said you knew what we had need of even before we ask. But Lord, you said to ask. And Lord, I believe it's important tonight to stop along the journey and just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being my Father. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you for my people. Thank you, Lord, for the record of Scripture, Genesis through Revelation. We don't just have a piece of the Bible the way that many people do in the world, but God, you've given us an entire canon of Scripture. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us. Thank you, Lord, tonight. We don't have to stand here alone. God, we just thank you and believe you to clothe us in our calling. Make our lives, our Father, a blessing. Make this message, our Father, a blessing to your people tonight. Challenge our hearts, we pray. Peradventure, Lord, there'd be one in our midst that does not know you. May tonight, Lord, be the night. May this be the night, Lord, that they come to the end of themselves, to the end of that road of sin, and come to the Savior who patiently waits. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. Help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. All of God's people said, amen. 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 Tonight, we're just looking at Brother Jim, Brother Richard back there. I don't know what they're going to name this. I really haven't named it. Maybe just Jesus Gives Thanks, part one, part two, and part three. I don't know, however they want to do it. That's what they normally do anyway. Just however they want to do it, amen. I'm kidding them a little bit back there, amen. I have to. But tonight, Jesus, he said, I thank thee, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. You know, you and I probably can't say that. You say, Pastor, why can't you say that? I'll say it for myself. I won't put you in there. But the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And Brother Steve, there have been times in my Christian walk when I had something in my heart that put up a wall between me and heaven, that made the ceiling brass. My prayers, Brother Gary, wasn't going up because of things that I was allowing in my life. Anybody going to get an amen right there? I mean, is there at least one or two out there that knows what I'm talking about? But Jesus is one that said, I knew thou heard me. You say, how could he say that? Thou hearest me always. I'll tell you how. Remember this? He said, I do always those things which please the Father. Jesus never missed it. Jesus never got it wrong. Amen. Jesus never had a channel between he and his Heavenly Father that was blocked up. By the way, when he died on the cross, and God put the lights out while he was bearing our sin in his body on the tree, I personally believe that's what Jesus dreaded more than anything about Calvary. For the first time in eternity, he was going to be separated for time from his Father so that you and I would not have to be separated for eternity. Let me give you this tonight. Jesus said, but because of the people which stand by. I want to give you five things tonight concerning the people that stand by. And I want you to apply it to this Thanksgiving week. I want you to think about it as Jesus has given thanks and thanking God that he hears him. The first group of people tonight are the people that are brokenhearted. Martha and Mary and their friends are brokenhearted. Lazarus has died. And they knew, they had this confidence that if Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have died. He's got that much power. But we know that Jesus, on purpose, he didn't come until 4 days later, because he wanted them to know that he actually had more power than they thought he had. He has power over death, hell, and the grave. Now you stay with me just a minute. Thanksgiving's coming. I'm just going to tell you how God dealt in the pastor's heart. There are people in our church, there'll be an empty seat at that table. And the folks in our church, Miss Eve, like our family, honey, where there's not an empty seat, we need to be thankful. And we need to pray for those others. Because honest to God, this day, I have said and thought, what would it be to have Thanksgiving and that woman not be at the other end of the table? There are people that are brokenhearted. Jesus has given thanks, and he said here, because of the people which stand by. Amen. I think it would be good if we, you know, I haven't said a word today yet. The Holy Spirit just put it in my heart. I'm going to say a word. I believe it'd be good to call somebody maybe on Thanksgiving Day.
That's right.
You know, our family's gathered around. We just wanted to call and tell you, Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. You're on our heart. You're on our mind. You say a call wouldn't mean much. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. I know there's a man that I want to see this week before Thanksgiving, and God willing, I will. His name's Brother Don. I love Brother Don. Amen. And they're people, not only because of the loss of a loved one, but they're people that'll have loved ones sitting around the table, and they're brokenhearted, some because of their direction in life. They're ruining their life. They're ruining their testimony. Yet they'll come around at Thanksgiving, amen, and be there at the table. And Jesus has given thanks, and He said, I'm doing this because of the people which stand by. I'm telling you, while that you and I are enjoying a wonderful meal and wonderful fellowship with our children, our grandchildren, some people, their children won't be there. Some people, their children won't be there because their children have left this earth. Others, their children won't be there because their hearts are full of bitterness and rebellion and hatred. But Jesus, he says, because of those that stand by. So there were people that were brokenhearted. I will say this tonight, the second group of people that I see in the text tonight is the person that was bound. Or we could say people that are bound. Lazarus is wrapped up in grave clothes. And I just thought about this, and maybe I think weird. But this coming Thanksgiving, there'll be people that'll gather. They'll look just as normal as everybody else around the table. But the fact is, they're bound. The fact is, they're unsaved, some of them. And some of them are saved, and yet they're bound up by addiction. They're bound up by the things of this world. Some people are not going to have a good Thanksgiving because they're already worried about Christmas.
Amen. That's right.
Boy, it'd be good if we could just have one Christmas where there wasn't $1 involved. Wouldn't it? I think that's why Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. It really is. Because it just seems to be more geared towards him. There's people that were bound. Jesus said, I thank you because of the people which stand by. You say, well, Lazarus wasn't standing by. Oh, yeah, he was on standby. Amen. Wasn't going to be but just a few minutes. And Jesus is going to say, loose him. Let him go. There's seven in my family. Oh, dear God, I wish they could get out from under the grips. The hold that sin has in their life. Would to God, Sister Carol, that Daddy could say, loose her, let her go. But you see, Daddy, he ain't going to be able to do it. It's going to take God. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is thankful that God hears him. He says, because of the people that stand by. There were people that were brokenhearted. There were people that were bound. But there's another group of people. And I believe this is really the key to the message. Jesus, he said it out loud. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Watch this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. There was a people, because of everything that's happening, that are going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that. God, our Lord, he had a purpose in being late. God was going to get the glory. And there were going to be folks that were unbelievers before Lazarus rose from the dead that were going to be believers after Lazarus rose from the dead. I don't know about you, but I think that ought to be the way that we conduct our entire life. That we ought to be a thankful people. That someone that right now is not a believer might be a believer. It reminds me of a story. I may not get it exactly right, but years ago I heard a story about a lady that just always praising the Lord. It didn't matter how bad the situation was. She just praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Thanking God. She got without groceries. The cupboards were empty. And there was a man that was a sinner man, an unsaved man, that went and bought her some groceries and just set them on the front porch and knocked on the door and ran around the corner of the house. And she came out and opened the door, and she just started praising the Lord. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Lord, for the groceries. He come around the corner. He going to throw a wet blanket on it. He said, honey, the Lord didn't deliver the groceries. I did. And she said, thank you for letting the devil bring them. Amen. Old devil. You know, God can use even unsaved people to bless his people. But God certainly wants to use saved people to be a blessing to unsaved people that they might believe. I believe that was the major thing. It's right here in the text. But because of those that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, that was the two major schools of thought. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wouldn't have cared if you called him a good man or a good teacher. But when he said he was the Son of God, you've made yourself equal with God. And for that, they crucified him. They couldn't stand it. He didn't make himself equal with God. He just was. He always was. By the way, I got a blessing last week reading in John 17. There's two times in John 17 where it talks about Jesus before the world was. You got that text where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Go home, read John 17. It'll bless you. Before the world was. The glory that I had with you before the world was. If you got a Jesus that started in the manger, you got the wrong Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible always has been. Say amen. Thank God he always will be. There's a people that's brokenhearted. There's a people that are bound. There's a people that would believe on him. You look in verse 45, the Bible said here, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Well, I believe I believe the heart of Jesus is just bubbling right here, don't you? Lord, you and I knew. They didn't know. But the brokenhearted didn't know. But we knew this was the whole purpose in the thing. You'd get glory. Then if you look in chapter 12, look at this. Look at verse 10 and 11 in chapter 12. The Word of God said, but the chief priests, by the way, I had never caught this before. I knew they wanted to put Jesus to death after this, Brother John, but I didn't know they wanted to kill Lazarus. I don't know how I missed it. It's right there in verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. He done died once. They want him to die again. The Bible said, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on them. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were losing numbers. They were following after Jesus. And they said, boy, it'd be good if we just kill him too. I didn't realize that. There were people that would believe on him. Number four, there were people that would betray him. The people that stood by. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, the Bible said in verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Look at that word, but not all of them believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. And they said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto him, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Not for that nation only, but that he should also gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. So there's a great outcome. Many believe. But there's also the other side of that coin. There were some that set their heart to betray him. In chapter number 12, in verse number 4 through verse number 6, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. I guarantee you this. If you could talk to Lazarus tonight, if you could talk to Judas tonight, I will guarantee you this, that Judas still regrets betraying the Lord. I don't know who I heard say it years ago, but somebody said that Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. You think about that for just a moment. He betrayed him with a kiss. Kissed the very door to heaven and went to hell. The last thing tonight I'll give you in the message is this. Not only there were people that were brokenhearted, and Jesus has given thanks because of the people that stand by. People that were bound. There were people that would believe on him. People that would betray him. But we'd have to say tonight, there was a people that would bless him in a very special way. In chapter number 12 and verse number 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now I'm going to say something tonight that I hope will come out right. But Mary was a special blessing that day, that she was willing to take that was precious and pour it out. I could say it like this scripturally, on he that was precious to her soul. She took the ointment, the odor filled the house. I believe that Mary was a very special blessing to take her hair. She was not ministering at Jesus' head, at his shoulders, but she was ministering at his feet. I won't fall out with songwriters. There's a lot of songs that talk about face-to-face. But personally, I see example after example after example in the Bible where folks fall at his feet. And I believe that's where if I ever get face-to-face with the Lord, and I don't know about that, but I do know I desire to fall at his feet and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with this alabaster box of ointment. I believe that was a blessing to Jesus. But I want to give you something else. Just think about this for just a moment. I'm thinking about my own Thanksgiving. We went and bought a bigger table, didn't we, honey? And it still ain't big enough. My grandfather said one time, Brother Mike, he said, "The Vinoys are like the sagebrush. They've about took this part of the country over." You still got to have another plastic table set up down there, and then a little table for the little ones sitting around it. What a blessing. But I want you to see that not only do I believe it was a blessing to have Mary do what she did, but I get this from the scripture, Brother Steve. I think it's in Revelation. I think it's in chapter 3 where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me." I believe it was a special blessing to Jesus just to have the folks at the table. You think about that for just a moment. When we get together, my precious wife, I promise you, the girls will help her some, but she will do 90% of the Martha, 90% of the work of the service. That's just what mamas do. Say amen. She will not start on Thursday. She'll probably start on Tuesday. But I know she'll be well started on Wednesday. Amen. Watch this. There's the servant. But I promise you, to the Father and to the Papaw, every one of those places that's filled will be a blessing. Some may mean more. Some may do more. Some may have more to offer. She had the alabaster box of ointment, and she gave all that she had. She poured it out on the Lord. But I'm just trying to get you to see, honey, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're welcome at God's table, and every one of you is special when God looks around the table. Amen. I can't wait till the marriage of the Lamb, can you? Amen. When we sit down there, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, Brother Ralph, there'll be no big I's and little U's. We'll all be little U's, sheep, God's precious children, sitting around the table of God. some having done more than others, but it ain't going to matter. It'll be a blessing to him just to have his youngins around the table. I thought about Jesus. He said here, this is the second in the series of messages where our Lord himself gives thanks. He said, I'm doing this out loud, Father, because of the people that stand by. This coming Thursday, every one of us will have people standing by. Somebody that we can be an influence on. I hope that we'll take time to talk to the Father. I hope we'll take time to talk to each other. Amen. I hope we'll take time if there's somebody that perhaps be alone to pick up the phone. Give them a call. Let them know you're thinking about them. Amen. The most precious thing we have in this world is our time. Just give somebody a little bit of that time. It may make a huge difference. There is the people that would bless him. Judas, he didn't want that done. But Jesus, he tell him this, everybody around the table, she understands something that you all don't understand yet. Against the day of my burying, she wasn't still hung up on Lazarus. She knew there was another death going to take place. And it was going to be not her brother, but her Lord and her Master. And tonight, I believe as we approach the week of Thanksgiving, I hope it's been a help to you, but it's helped me to look at these times that our Lord himself took time. We know he was very busy, but he took time. He didn't just rush in there and feed the people the way he could have. He didn't just rush up to the tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. He took a little time. He looked up to heaven, said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. I'm just glad you come tonight. How many is glad we have an intercessor tonight that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be here tonight with your people. God, I pray this day we've set aside in our country, I pray it'll be a special day. Lord, I know that we should be a thankful people every day of our life. And also know, Lord, that there are times when we fail to thank you the way that you should be thanked. I pray, Lord, that this week would be a week where you would challenge our hearts and our lives to reach out to someone, to try our best, Lord, to be a blessing to them. Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, if there's one here tonight that don't know you, that don't know for sure if they died tonight, they'd go to heaven. I pray, God, tonight would be the night. They would sense that knock at their heart's door. They would sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, they'd be sensitive. Lord, you said there when you were dealing with Elijah, you weren't in that wind. You weren't in that fire. But Lord, you were in that still, small voice. Lord, I'm glad that still, small voice is still speaking to hearts in these days. Lord, I just pray tonight. There's one in our midst, Lord, that they'd hear that still, small voice. Thank you for speaking to me, Lord. Nobody looking, their heads are bowed, their eyes are closed.